I heard the chime.
I'm going to raise attention. You're shaking your head, why? Okay, start the recording and roll call, please.
Chairman Stevens?
Here.
Vice Chairman Michigan?
Here.
Treasurer Rosenblum?
Here.
Secretary Cushing Adams?
Here.
Director Jackson?
Here.
Do we have any special presenters here tonight? Where's the airport engineer? Oh, there you are. Nobody else is giving up. Pardon me?
His name's Roy.
Roy.
Okay, thank you.
Call him Nick.
Solar energy guy is not here?
I hope he's coming.
Okay, if he is, point him out so that we might interrupt and get him out of here again.
Okay.
Public input. Does anybody have any public input before we start the meeting? Great, moving on. The minutes. Madam Secretary.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the Nashville Airport Authority minutes from the May 20th, 2015 meeting as amended and presented.
Your second?
Second.
All those for?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Okay, and then I'd like to make a motion, pending a few corrections, to accept the June 17th, 2015 Nashville Airport Authority minutes. On page 2, we have Treasurer Blumfeld, that's Rosenblum, so we just have to correct that. And, on my copy anyway, and on page 6, it says Sandy Cushing Adams. If you could amend that to Secretary Cushing Adams.
Sandy Cushing?
It doesn't really matter to me, but it's been Secretary Cushing Adams throughout everything.
Okay.
Did you find it? So here's the bonus on here. Page 6. Maybe did you fix it already, Mary Beth, today?
No.
I gotta find it here. Oh, maybe that's on the May 15th.
No, you were right. It's director comments, page 6.
Okay, page 6.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
And I think the motion is to approve the minutes subject to those two changes. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Thank you. Treasurer's report. Mr. Rosenblum.
Okay.
Or is that Bloomfield?
You have in your packet the June 30th financial statements, and I will refer to the comparison of actual to budget, which is on page 9. And I'm pleased to report at the last. At the last meeting, I was estimating we would wind up the year with either break even or a slight deficit. And I'm pleased to announce that I project that this year we will wind up with a $4,497 surplus. We had a significant change in the personnel coming towards the end of the year, which reaped a significant savings as opposed to budget. Our year-to-date operating income was $6,750 higher than we had budgeted, and our expenses were just under $51,000 below what we had budgeted. As a result, we have a 4497 surplus as compared to a $54,000 shortfall, which we began the year as a budget. And I would like to make a motion to accept the financial report, treasurer's report, as of June 30th, 2015, pending audit.
I'll second that motion.
In discussion, I have a question.
Sure.
So our income kind of turned around mostly because of an improvement in our snow removal income.
Yeah, and also land lease income was higher than what we had budgeted by about $13,000 also.
And the land lease income increase was pretty much offset by the reduction in registration fees, and that's a wash.
We had, right, we had a $12,000 shortfall in the registration fee.
Yeah. And that's likely to continue next year?
It should improve next year, and I'll, that's reflected in the budget that we're presenting tonight.
Okay. And we don't want the snow income to be there next year.
We're projecting the same level of budget for next year.
Not our actual, but our budget level.
The budget level, yeah. $35,000.
I have a question about those delinquent accounts. Have we heard anything about those yet? Have we received anything on them?
No updates.
Okay, any more discussion? Motion is to approve the June 30th financials. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, and the motion carries.
Okay, so now moving on to the approval of the 2016 budget, and that is in your packet on page 12. We did project a slight increase in land lease income compared to last year's budget because of the cost of the CPI, which will take effect January 1st. Fuel flowage fees would be up slightly from this current, the past year's actual. The significant difference is the state of New Hampshire registration fees. We're projecting $40,000 based on a brand new jet that was delivered this past week, that we will reap some of the registration fees for that. The snow removal is budgeted at $25,000, so that would be a total income of $534,522. The personnel costs are based on the current and projected personnel for the current year, for the full year, which is full-time and part-time individuals. If you recall, we had reduced the amount of full-time individuals during the year and replaced some of that personnel with part-time, so that's the difference of the two. The total amount was allocated and was calculated based on the full year's personnel cost. As a result of the switch in shift to more of a part-time, we are reducing the amount of pensions that were paid for the year, and also the amount of health, dental, and life benefits. items seem pretty in line with current year, past year's actual. On page two, we have a reduction in our workers, actually a slight increase in our workers' comp expense based on the personnel cost that went from 15,800 to 17,000. That was budgeted. Fuel is level at the same amount of 17,000 last year. And I'd like to make a amendment to the budget that's being presented here, and that is to add, that's included here, the IT expense is a new expense. It appears that the office computers are not networked, and we would like to work to network those computers, and also to install some encryption software for email activity. So there's $4,000 budgeted for that. That would be a total expense of $511,000, which would be have a net surplus of $23,162. Questions?
I just want to summarize for everybody's benefit. That was a great detailed presentation. But the bottom line is that we're saving $35,000 in salary and $11,000 in benefit for a total of $46,000 in employee and benefits overall. Along with a few other tightenings and a little bit of increased income, the net is a $76,000 swing to the better from our forecast from last year. So we're going from a negative 54,000 forecast for all of 2015 to a positive 23,000 budget. So it's nice not to have a negative budget all year, or at least a forecast for it. So.
Yes, it is.
That's good. Anything else? Is there anything somebody might want to add to the budget?
Not at this time. Sorry. I have been working on trying to get information together for marketing budget. I think what I'm going to do is, plug away on my own and work with the community members. I have a long list of, things to do. So at this time, I'm going to hold off asking the airport authority.
Well, you don't have to get detailed. Is there anything in particular or a budget amount that you'd like to tag or?
I would like to have, $12,000 a year. That would go for, I'd like to have a banner put up at one of the local gyms. I'd like to do a banner tow from Air Direct Airways when we have activities here. I'd like to do some television, aviation magazine ads, all different kinds of things I'd like to do. I don't have an exact amount. So I've been gathering that. Ronnie Emond, I spoke with him about banner tow. So it would be great to have that money. I don't have exact figures, to put down into a budget yet. And I know we need to market and push and advertise and do what we need to do, spend some money to make money. I don't want to cripple our progress at this point. But feel free to give me money if you want.
Well, I guess the question is do we want to ear tag some money for marketing this year? I think it's time that we started planning ahead and actually putting some money into a marketing budget, whether it's $12,000, $6,000, $10,000, something.
I think it'd be a good idea to budget something for marketing. However, I think we need a little more details on what's involved and what the cost is, as opposed to just attributing a certain dollar amount and plugging it into the budget. We do have a running a surplus now. We'd like to continue to run a surplus, but if we need to use up some of that surplus for a marketing campaign, we should have a little bit more details on the cost of that.
Well, I agree, before it's spent, but...
I do...
Well, I think we should just identify it, okay, and put it aside, say we want to allocate this in marketing. And I think that there will be justified reasons to spend it for something, but we're never going to be able to spend it if we don't put the money aside.
I do, you know, I spoke with Ronnie, and I think about $2,000 would do a banner tow for events that we have coming up to bring awareness. National Sports Academy is $1,000 for a banner for 1 year, and that could be something that Gordon could put together with the marketing committee or whatever. You know, the news, the magazines, Aviation Digest and all that stuff, they're not cheap.
Okay, may I just say that what you're talking about is advertising and not so much marketing. And as I've mentioned to you before, I think you'd be mindful of the fact that dollars that we may be spending on behalf of the entire community may only affect a certain component of the community. So I think you should be careful as how you go about appropriating those dollars.
I think it would affect us all.
Well, not necessarily. I think there are people here that contribute to the airport that get no benefit from, say, a public, what do you call it, public gathering that doesn't affect them in any way whatsoever. Or towing a banner is not going to affect somebody that's perhaps in the charter business. You know, I think you need to be careful, as I said, on how you go about appropriating dollars and to what extent you intend those dollars to be used for.
Well, I think that maybe that could be something that as a community we vote on, or as the marketing committee can take those things under consideration. Mm-hmm. But I do think we need to put some money aside. You know, I'm willing to plug away as I have been. I prefer not to.
I'm not. I'd like to make a motion. Okay. I'd like to move that we identify $6,000 for a marketing / advertising budget to be used as such. And that's the end of my motion. But what do I have a second?
I second it.
Good. For discussion. Okay.
We do have $1,500 already earmarked for advertising, which we do some advertising already.
But we're just going to, I guess then I amended to move the $1,500 to $6,000. I think that anytime you get the name out, it helps. I don't care what the occasion may be, helps everybody at the airport know that we exist. And you don't go to trade shows to really sell anything, in my opinion. You go there to let the industry know you're alive and you're there and they can call on you. And I think it's just a matter of whether we're selling an airplane, somebody's looking through the magazine and says, hey, there's a national airport there and there's a plane for sale. It doesn't matter. It's going to benefit that one person who owns a plane, but everybody sees the name Nashua. So. And Wes, you have a comment?
Well, I'd like to just second what you just said. Errol and I were on WCAX Burlington Vermont TV this weekend. We had an aerobatic contest at the Springfield Harkness Airport, and the TV crew came out and did a very nice interview of myself, of Farrell, of a couple other people. Farrell took the reporter for a ride. And the most important thing that everyone got out of it was that for that evening newscast, that airport was on the map. People showed up the next day at the airport who probably wouldn't have, driven by at all. So I agree. Any publicity that puts the Nashua Airport name out there increases awareness to people who might otherwise have never known that this airport existed.
And I'd like to, you know, I've been on this board for a long time, and every time someone says, where's, do you have a marketing budget? It's always been nothing. Now we have a budget. It might start low until you start putting things together and identify a better, a more aggressive plan, or identify the cost for it, then we can go back to the subject and maybe increase it or decrease it. But I think that we need to start with something, and we can afford it.
Steve. Yes. First of all, I want to applaud just the idea of actually finally embracing the idea of marketing the airport and spending the money for it. With regard to spending the money for it, I think instead of just throwing money here, there, or everywhere, is actually bringing in a professional marketer, somebody that actually has done it at airports before, including online marketing, and going from there. Pay the extra, a little bit extra money for somebody that does this for a living versus us all basically guessing at it, and you get the most results from it.
Online is one of the things that I put down, having somebody to do a website. John Leland, a long time ago, brought up a great airport with a wonderful website, and we just, you know, none of us are proficient in that. So at some point, but we can't hire someone to do it if we don't have the money for that. So.
Okay. So, any more discussion? I'd like to
make an amendment, and that is to suggest that the motion be to add a line item for marketing expense for $6,000.
So amended.
Okay. And keep the advertising for $1,500.
Yep.
Agreed. Okay. So the motion is to appropriate a new $6,000 marketing expense budget line item. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? All right. Carries. Okay. Moving on.
Can we vote on the budget now?
Yes.
I have a question about the budget itself. I didn't hear, and it could just be my ears, I didn't hear anything about in the budget about the airport's portion of these capital projects. Is there any money in there in this $23,000 surplus, or hasn't that been calculated in?
That's not part of the operating budget, but my understanding
just
is that the budget has been approved, Alderman, so that capital improvement 22.5 is in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so this is just the operations, not the capital projects as
right.
Well.
Right. Pretty much, so since the city's jumping on board and showing their support to the airport community and on the CIP portion of it, we pretty much will see the entire year is just, you know, all of our expenses will be, at this point, $17,000 surplus. We just added a $6,000.
Okay, fine. I didn't hear anything about it, and we've been talking all these months about capital improvement projects and the 5% and such, and I just wondering what happened to it. That's great.
It should also be noted, you know, if you've been in and out of meetings this entire year, we've been kind of like a little bit concerned about getting refunded by the state for the purchases of the two homes on the corner. And that has come through as well, and so yeah, we're.
Not yet, Dennis. It has not.
You actually have it in your checking account.
The second
now?
One has not. Come through.
The second one is still pending. I thought they approved it. We're just waiting for Governor's Council.
We're just waiting for the money. It's.
Well, it's approved. We're just waiting for the money.
Right.
Well, it's approved.
But you still don't have the cash.
No, not yet.
I wish we did.
Okay, so we have any further discussion on the fiscal year 2016 budget. Okay, all those in favor of approving the budget with the one modification
is
adding.
There a motion?
Yeah, there was a motion, wasn't there?
I'll make a motion to accept the proposed 2016 budget as amended.
I'll second it.
Discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
And you had skipped over the 2015. You talked about we approved the June, but did you didn't really actually approve the 2015 financial statements. I don't know Is that preliminary? Do you want to wait until, it's on the agenda, but should we wait until?
Didn't we vote on that?
Yeah, I thought we did.
We voted on that, yeah. The first two items are combined.
Together, they're both together.
It's a duplicate.
Pretty sure the way you phrased it was approved is.
Fiscal year and the, yeah, and, oh, June and then the fiscal year.
June 30th.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Okay.
Communications.
Okay, so we're receipt of NAA-15-013 from the New Hampshire DOT 5010 inspection letter. It's on file. You want to talk about anything else?
And I have not read it, so is there anything anybody wants to bring up about it?
Maybe Roy. It's really a great report. It says that we have an obstruction. Do we need to take care of that? Does that have to be removed? Do you have that?
I'm not familiar with that obstruction. Last I knew, we cleared it, all the obstructions. The only thing that I noticed, I was looking one day on there, and it appears that it's possibly right on final approach to 32. There's a tree out there.
Yeah.
Across the street. That's, I was trying to plot it out, but that wasn't an obstruction when we, you know, did the last study, so I don't know why that popped up.
Yeah.
The question that's raised in the report here is a obstruction that is very close to the 1-4 obstruction pole. And Rita was not sure whether that was encapsulated in the radius obstruction or not.
Did you show that on the other side?
The northernmost one.
Okay.
Eric was looking to see whether it was covered by that obstruction or not. He seems to think it was, but she wasn't sure.
Okay, I'll check on that.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
How can we have an obstruction when we've had people in planes and lasers flying around, you know, checking it all out?
The line of trees that's on the northeast side of the runway is, part of that is inside the primary surface for the airport.
Yeah.
So it's mitigated with three obstruction poles. The obstruction poles have a radius around them that covers any obstruction within that radius. I don't remember what the radius is. It's 150 feet or probably more than that. But the question DOT raised was whether or not that last couple trees on the 1-4 end were mitigated by that obstruction pole or not. And Gail's response in email was that they think it was, but Eric was supposed to look into it.
So we don't know yet.
Is the tree on our property?
It is, but it's in a wetland.
Okay, so.
Never easy.
Let's go top it.
If we can do that, we will. It was my understanding that all of those trees were mitigated by the obstruction poles, so we didn't have to cut anything
out.
Okay.
And you can check on that?
Sure will.
Okay.
The other couple little points that they had, and it was really a great inspection. The couple points, it's funny because I was talking to somebody today on the airport, and they were talking about the grass growing into the fence and faded paint. So those were the really, really minor points that they made, so that's just something that maintenance can take care of. And overall, it's an excellent
report. Farrell Woods for the record. Sandy, I'm unfamiliar with these reports. What's the scope of the inspection letter, please?
Yeah, the DOT does, well, Steve can answer better, but the DOT does the inspection.
Every year, Farrell, the Department of Transportation does what they call a 5010 inspection. They're basically looking at the condition of the pavement, the markings, the safety areas, any obstructions that are out there. I can give you a copy of the letter. I can let you borrow my copy if you want to take a look at it at the meeting here now, but I can make you a copy of that if you'd like.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving on, reports, tower report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. June was, I guess there was 10 days of bad weather in June. We were comparing 2014 numbers to the 2015 numbers for the month of June. We were down by 1,171 operations. So it's been a slow start to 2015.
Any comments?
I had requested from the office that the traffic count, we had an analysis in past months where we compared prior years' activity, and it doesn't seem to be included in the packet.
And my apologies, we'll make that happen.
Thank you.
Expand yet? Probably heat. Anyway, airport manager, not airport, airport engineer. We'll skip to
again. Welcome, Nick. I talked to Nick today. He's out of Turner's Falls. He's a resident engineer on a construction project. He should be done. He may not be done next month, but he'll be back the month after that. He sends his thoughts to you. Anyhow, on the report. Project 1 and 2 are, the grant was approved by the Governor Council, so it's just basically waiting to close out. The installation of the perimeter fence, they had you, Steve, you probably know a little more than I do. I know that you had your final inspection on that, and you're working on the punch list now.
That's correct, yep.
And Farrell just said that the gate down by Hangar 15 is working now.
Yeah, it's adjacent to 13, but I received a note from Steve this afternoon saying that was in now operational, and indeed it was.
So that project is just about done. I don't know. Yeah. You have a.
There's a handful of items still outstanding.
But not a lot. So that should be closed out probably within the next 2 months. The two property acquisitions are the same as they were last month. No change on that. Still waiting for the money is there. It's just waiting to come in on the second project. Once that's received, you've approved everything as far as the signing on it. So when the money comes in, then you can take a low bidder for the demolition of the two buildings.
And then we've already identified that. And did we have it contracted?
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're all set to go.
And how about the perimeter fence completion? Is that part of the punch list of the perimeter fence project to come back and fence around where
that's,
the houses
that's
used to
be? That's part of that project, but I think they can still close a project out before that's completed. I'll double check with Eric on that next week.
Well, I think you'd have to hold off on actual closure, pay everything except for the punch. The amount yet to be done.
Right. Okay. And that last month you asked about removing the barbed wire from the section on Sharon Ave. That fence is over 20 years old, so the FAA, they won't remove it for you, but if you want to, you know, remove it yourself, that's fine.
Okay. Keep going.
Volunteers? I was waiting to
I'm
see
sure that's going to come up now.
We're going to form a committee for the barbed
yes.
wire removal. Mary Parker, will you head that up?
And the last thing was the on the general items, the 2015 EPA multi-sector general permit has been issued. We're in the process of reviewing to make sure that we're in full compliance here, and if not, we will make whatever changes need to be made. And that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to address them.
The 2015 EPA multi-sector general permit. What exactly is that? And
that's under the stormwater program, and they finally, I think the last one they had was the 13, and they finally brought this one in, so we have to check to make sure that anything that might have been changed from the 13 permit to the 15 permit is covered under your stormwater prevention plan that you have. And
I guess what I'm saying is, how often do we have to do this permit? Is it an annual requirement?
You have quarterly inspections, which is completed by your maintenance staff, and then you have an annual inspection with one of our engineers, and Steve, you were on that one, you did the last one, I think, so.
So the permit, the MSDP permit expires and has to be renewed and rewritten every year?
Well, not every year, they really drag their feet on it. You know, they just finally got this one approved, and they were working on that, I think, since 2013.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, airport manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wildlife activity has been moderate with one reported strike. The 2015 touch truck event planning is ongoing. The event's scheduled for August 15th from 10 to 2, and we're currently soliciting for vehicles and particularly aircraft. If anybody is interested in having their aircraft be part of this event, it would be greatly appreciated. The idea is to allow kids to actually climb into the aircraft, but if any aircraft owners are not comfortable with doing that, just having it there on a static display would be the second best thing, I suppose. So if anybody's interested in having their airplane be part of touch truck, please let me know. Got about 3 weeks here till the event. So I know Infinity was fantastic in helping us out with that last year.
Yeah, we'll have something available.
Great, thank you. I know Civil Air Patrol will have something. Pilgrim Aviation will have an aircraft or two on display as well. So, and CR Helicopters last year was fantastic, and I'm hoping they're going to be able to bring one of their helicopters down this year. And the idea is, you know, it's called Touch a Truck, but the idea is to expose kids to aviation, having it here at the airport. They have trucks of all different types and all different sizes, and it's fun for the kids. But really, I mean, the goal is to get kids hooked on aviation. So that's why we're having it here at the airport. The commemorative Air Force visit was a fantastic success despite bad weather on Sunday. We'll be discussing their return, and they initially said 2 years, but possibly next year, and maybe staying for a week next year. We'll be hosting our first National Airport Movie Night on August 14th at dusk. This is just the night before our Touch Truck event. We'll be screening the movie Disney. The Disney movie Planes, Fire and Rescue, and planning is ongoing. Pilgrim Aviation had their Aviation Discovery Day, an open house, and an estimated 250 people came to visit the airport. And as we talked about already, the DOT conducted their annual 5-10 airport inspection and reported the airport is in excellent condition and very well maintained. And that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
I'd like to make a comment on the commemorative Air Force. I think I got more questions and comments and calls after they left. It seems that when they took off and departed the Nashville area, everybody saw them. They must have taken off 1-4 or something. I don't know.
They did depart. Only 3-2 actually on
departure. Was it 3-2?
Yeah.
But they did fly around. They
and I'm going to say the next time they come, before they land, instead of just doing like a 10-mile final, they need to circle. You know, as much as they can allow, people will see them, and especially if it's a low altitude, 2,000 foot circle or something.
Well, they had rides planned, two rides per day, Saturday and Sunday in the morning. I think they consolidated Saturday into one ride, Shane. Did they just have one ride on Saturday?
They did. They had a landing gear issue.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was one ride, unfortunately. Yeah.
Mm. And Sunday was a wash because of the weather.
Yeah. Good, it's better than Tanner banner towing. Yeah.
that's a draw. Yeah, people see that thing.
So why don't we budget a little money to fly around in that?
Okay.
Well, maybe they can tumble me in.
Farrell.
I guess if you want a group of people like that to circle, maybe they can put a price tag on the incremental amount of gas it would cost, and you know the airport might consider sponsoring that. Another comment was it's great to have the CAF come out here. In years past, the Collings Foundation has been here as well. You know, I'll just throw this out for thought as well. It would be cool if they could, you know, bring airplanes here as well. You know, that would attract more attention to the airport. You know, they tour with a B-17 plus a couple other aircraft.
Yeah, they were here last year, and we're hoping Maybe we can have Collings and then Commodore Air Force kind of flip flopping every other year. They're competitors, so I don't think they would both come at the same time.
I wouldn't expect them to, for sure. Thank you.
I want to comment, I was up here that weekend, and I had sent an email to Steve about this. There were cars lined up along the side of Perimeter Road down to the hangars at the south end of the airport. And I got to the end and I said, I'm going to have to walk all the way up there, and then I thought about it for a minute, and I just drove by them and came up. The parking lot was completely empty. And after that, I went over to Sandy's thinking, nobody knows about the parking lot, maybe nobody knows about the Midfield Cafe either, and there were empty tables in there. You know, we need to do some better signage when we get people to the airport to get them to understand where to go.
Good point.
And last week I was over there actually, and when I got out of the car to go to the Midfield Cafe, there was a couple of people who'd been driving around aimlessly, and they pulled up and said, do you know where the cafe is? And I said,
yeah.
Like right there, because you can't, where the sign is on the back side of the fence, you can't read it through the fence. So.
Can't believe they didn't hear me screaming.
That brings up another point for Touch a Truck. Last year there was just two of us trying to manage all the traffic, and it became almost impossible for just two people to deal with it. So if anybody, or I would put the word out for volunteers to help in those sorts of things on that day, because people were backed up.
We're going to have a police detail this year, and the police athletic league, is that what they call themselves, the PAL?
Yeah.
The junior, there is a group where we're going to have some parking support from.
What about the air cadet kids?
Civil Air Patrol will I'm working on trying to get them involved as well. They've expressed interest last year because of the amount of people that we were able to bring to the airport. Mm-hmm. But trying to pigeonhole them has been difficult.
I will say, in years past, Roland and Homer and all those guys that have been on the airport forever and ever have always volunteered for activities that go on. So maybe if you have a sign-up sheet, I'm sure they would volunteer at least an hour or two to help out. They love doing stuff like that. They're like the Walmart greeters of the airport. So. I think they would definitely help.
And there's also nothing wrong with information signs. We haven't got a shy of signs. We have our big billboard sign, but what about just some, you know, nice information signs placed throughout with arrows, parking,
yeah, well,
Midfield
that's,
Cafe.
That's definitely.
These are, I mean, it's just like a, you know, I look at the airport and I think it is a big confusing network of places to go with trails. You need to point people in the right direction.
So are you going to volunteer to take on making the signs?
No, we got a lot of sign contractors out there. About $40 a piece, you know?
Sign contractors, okay.
All right, signs.
Buy them.
There we go.
Yes.
I always, you know, since you're talking about it, I always thought there should be a sign along the fence on Sharon Ave. Mm. A lot of people all look.
Says what?
There's an airport over there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm waiting for the granite monument that we're going to put in the budget.
after
those buildings come down, believe me, we're going to get hit with, let's do something with
waiting
this.
Waiting for the course there,
Well, the signs could even be advertised, like an outfield wall or something.
Yeah.
And as far as Touch a Truck, the police, you know, police were there last year, and the firemen, it was really great. It was a whole community thing. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't just trucks, it was airplanes and trucks. And
people reach out to Air or Army National Guard at all?
Yeah.
Where were the police last year?
They're on deployment.
Where were the police last year?
They had a police motorcycle.
They won't be able to bring anything.
Oh, no, but I think they weren't directing traffic.
No.
We'll have
sure
a police detail for traffic this year.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving on. Okay, committees. Standards and Procedures Committee. Do we?
I talked to Rob on the phone and asked him if he wanted to have us present anything tonight, and he said not yet. He said we'll let everybody digest it and present it at the next meeting. However, if anyone from the S&P committee wants to.
Pretty much just working for the wrap up, the final opposition of the.
Just real quick, as far as the S&P and the draft that can work on.
It's been, for all intents and purposes, completed. It's just a matter of voting now. I think probably half the guys have voted so far.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's going to be finished up probably the voting process within less than 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. So he said not to worry about it tonight.
We just want to make sure that we get it in enough time to read it, review it before
it's
the next meeting.
So as far as the NA, it'd be really easy to go through.
Give us a couple weeks. Okay, good. The marketing committee.
Well, marketing committee is happy to hear that we have a budget for marketing. It's a big step up. I can stop financing our processes out of my own pocket for a change. We are in the process of not concluding, but working on our current survey, and that's been a learning experience for us, really. So that'll be very helpful in the future to do more of the same kind of work. We have the pilots and aircraft owners survey is in process. If you don't know about it, we hope or that you can get people rather to go to the website. There's a link there for people to go to the survey, take it. We've got flyers up and forms distributed at various points throughout the airport for people to take a manual copy and fill it out and turn it in. One of the things that I've been doing is working with, and I was there again today at the city assessor's office, to be able to get addresses for all of the condo owners on the airport, so that if they're not present here and they're at a limit, some remote location, we can get something mailed to them. And I started that process last week, but only found out that the system didn't work exactly the way I wanted it to. So after spending a couple hours getting all these addresses, I got garbage. So after visiting today, they've showed me hopefully the correct way to do that. So that that should be the last step, as far as I can imagine. However, one of the things that we, in doing all this stuff as cheaply as possible, we discovered that this Survey Monkey, if you're doing it for free, has a limited time. So we only have 20 days left to try and wrap this thing up, otherwise it goes poof on you and everything disappears. But now we have a budget, we might consider moving up to the professional.
We can
upgrade the package now, and so we might save ourselves. It's been very interesting getting all these survey forms in. A lot of remarks are very interesting. A lot of the information is very interesting. I think the Midfield Cafe should start advertising more with all the revenue that you seem to be pulling in from this stuff. But at any rate, this is kind of interesting to do, and I'm really happy that it's ongoing. And we're going to be then looking to try and do some surveys of the surrounding community or the business community of the greater Nashua area, just to see what their opinions and what their feelings are about the airport and how it can interface with them and their businesses and that sort of thing. So that's our next step. I've spoken with several people that have expressed the idea of a quote, friends of the airport type of thing. There are plenty of people that live in the greater Nashua community who actually have an attachment to this airport, one way or the other. And I think if we can enlist them in one way, you know, to somehow to be a big, I don't know, like sort of like the parent teachers organization of some sort to assist us in various projects, I think that would be also a very helpful thing to do. That's about it for the marketing committee for this month.
Gordon, how would you go about identifying the friends of the airport?
That's a good question. You should come to the next meeting and we'll talk about that.
Okay, so
believe it or not, no. I ran into I don't know if you're familiar with this, but the Tamposi girls, Mel and Lauren.
Yeah,
and really delightful kids, and they, it was just by accident. I was at the Staples getting some of these forms made, you know, printed, And they said, they looked over my shoulder and said, are you involved in the airport? And I said, yeah, sort of. And they said, well, we're, you know, we love the airport and we've been to, our family's been involved and we'd love to help out. And I said, what a great idea. So we're going to brainstorm that some more. I'm going to, maybe we'll buy them lunch at brainstorm it some more on your dime or your marketing money or advertising money, whatever. But I think it's a great idea. How it'll play out, I don't know, but why not? Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's where we stand right now with our marketing committee.
I do have one piece of input from some people doing the surveys. They were wondering if there's a deadline on them. How long do they have to get them in, or is it going to be...
Well, as it stands right now, we got 20 days, and if we don't get it, you know, wrapped up in 20... I had hoped to reinvigorate it again for August, but as we found out, that we're only good for 20 days. But now that we have a budget, that changes everything. We can really go big time now.
How do you get a survey?
How do we get a survey?
Does everybody in here have a survey?
They're available at various locations.
Website.
Cafe, Infinity, the pilot shop, our offices.
Nashua Airport.
Nashua Jet,
yeah,
sure.
I think most everybody in here has done one, I think.
Email blast.
Yeah. Online, email blast. Like I said.
I thought we had an email blast system. You know, goes out to 200 people.
Mary Beth will find it if we do.
Well, yeah, I would say that they've been rather hamstrung or handcuffed at the beginning of the month with some things that they had to deal with. But yeah, we could do that too.
Yeah.
By all means. And like I said, I hope to get this information out from there. Yeah.
I literally have not. I saw the preliminary survey before you sent it out, but I have not seen it since it came out. And I would respond more to like an email blast. I'd keep it in my inbox until I did it, you know, that sort of thing.
Thanks for reminding us. We talked about that, but we somehow slipped through the.
Okay.
Anything is possible.
Wrapped up?
Yep, that's
okay.
Right.
No business then.
Sure. Is your representative from Shaw here yet?
I'm sorry?
Is your representative?
No, he's not. And I'm sorry to say it, but we'll get to that. But yeah.
We'll hit that last. It's on the agenda last. So the first thing under old business is the CIC, the CIP, and the operations budget to the city. And would you like to? I think we've already commented on that.
We've already reported on it, and we should all thank our aldermen and mayor for approving that funding. The project will go forward hopefully in the spring.
Yeah. And appreciation for your support, and to the Alderman present, and property historical event. Maybe it's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know, but we've got the city on board to feedback some of our tax contributions, and that's a good thing. Next item on the agenda is the underground fuel farm replacement. Actually, we're going to table that. We'll leave it on the agenda. I just briefly discuss some of the alternatives we have for the underground fuel tank replacement. We have out there now three sources for used tanks at an economical cost, and we also have an option to leave the underground storage tanks in place and build a double wall tank container inside the steel tank. So in other words, what you're using is the underground steel container, the old tank, as a shell to really send crews down inside and build a tank inside the tank. This has been done five or six times at different locations throughout New Hampshire. It's approved with the DES. The nicest thing about it is that, one, the cost to do this would defer any demolition costs, okay? And two, we get to reuse all the equipment that's already on the tank. All you do is go to the end of the tank farm, open up a hole, enter the top end of the tank where there is no equipment, and build your liners inside. No action is being taken right now until we see the situation develop and we coordinate with NJA. Is there any questions? Okay, we'll move on. The underground fuel farm demolition. Demolition has to occur by December 22nd. Would you like to give the good news?
Well, we've been able to work with the Department of Environmental Services here in New Hampshire, and they're going to fully fund the demolition, if that's the route we decide to go, of the fuel tank, of the threefold fuel tanks removal. The only cost that should be borne by us is maybe a little bit of the piping.
If we have contamination, they'll take care of the contamination too. At least the remediation fund will, but we'll have to pay $5,000 deductible. And the last time I talked to him, he didn't mention it when we met him this week at the site, was that the only portion of the demo we have to pay for is the closure report, the inspection, and that's about a $1,200-$1,500 expense. So
I should say this is part of the EPA's MTBE remediation program as well. So the assumption is that they're has been MTBE in those tanks at some point.
And Wes, thanks for your help in identifying that and some leads. Those websites certainly did a great job to show that Avgas and Jet A historically have and could have had MTBE. So that was great. Any other questions concerning that? Next item on agenda is the logo revision.
Much to your surprise, I'm going to put that on hold.
Okay, we'll push that off until the next meeting. And then finally, the New Hampshire Solar Garden proposal. Gordon?
I would assume that since
Andrew
has not presented himself, that he assumes as well that because of the recent letters from the DOT, so forth and so on, that we will miss the New Hampshire state allotment for this year, which puts it on back burner. In other words, the state government says you can only build so many megawatt units per year, and you have to get into that queue in order to.
Is it a megawatt thing or is it a reimbursement thing?
I know it's the size. It's based upon number of megawatts that's going to be allowed to be built every year within the state. I guess there's a limit to that, and there's a queue for it. And I think he said if we can't get in the queue by August, then it's a no deal. He can't do it. We wouldn't get approval to do it. So I guess by his non-presence here, what he's indicating is that there's not a chance for getting a commitment letter from us to proceed, and so he's probably blowing it off, I guess.
So this is a pretty big item. Is there, should we put together a team to work on it? There's some objectives we have. Hurdles we have to overcome.
May I say this? I mean, the perception is rather, here's somebody that has come to us. We are not in a position to build anything. It's not as though we're trying to do something. Here's a company that has come to us and said they want to lease land in order to build a solar farm. And it's different than us going to a solar company saying we want to build something. They're all willing to do that for us, provided we've got the money to do it. But in this particular case, here's somebody that says we have someone that will carry the paper, put the million or $2 million down and build the blasted thing, and all you got to do is lease us property, which is what we do, one of the things that we do. So I think we keep getting ourselves confused as to what our role here.
Well, I don't think anybody's confused with that.
Well, I, you know, but I hear that.
There's a dozen things that have to happen.
Oh, I concur.
Before we can sign a lease.
Oh, I agree, and that's what we were waiting for. We heard from the DOT, and we heard from, we haven't heard back from the FAA, right? We're still waiting. So, but I think it's what's the word I want to use? The perception of what our involvement here is, you know, yeah, we'd like to lease you the property and at the same time get the money or revenue from it and then offer to the community a rate structure that they might be able to take advantage of.
Well, I think those items are fairly clear.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't want to have the same discussion 3 months from now. We have a proposal from a solar panel company who wants to come in here, and it's a great thing. Everybody I talked to thought about things as a no-brainer. But we have to take care of glare studies, getting approval from the FAA to use a income-producing project in an aviation-only property. We have to get that exception, okay? I think they'll give it to us. I think we need to take it to the city alderman and make sure that the aldermen know that we're taking land the city's given us and making a 20-year lease for the solar panel. I'm sure they'll be on board with it.
Well, we do that as a normal way of business as it is now.
Yes.
We lease land to people. So.
And so, well, there's other steps we have to take.
He's already done the glare studies. He sent everybody the proposal, a copy of the proposal. All the glare studies have been done.
One of the concerns somebody brought up, it might have been Joe Carter, I don't know, after everything gets set up and running, there's only so many slots allotted. And we already have a commitment for our energy source. So, you know, what's to say that after, you know, all this time is up, that there's going to be a slot for us.
I'm sorry.
Joe, was that something you talked about?
I was more concerned about some of the implications to instrument approaches and things like that.
Yeah. There's no effect on that, Joe. Doesn't affect
minimum.
Isn't that what you said? There's no.
It shouldn't affect our minimums. There's no height to these structures.
6 feet.
I can't imagine. I'm not the FAA, so I don't.
But that's what the FAA study is going to do. The study has not been done on the glare. It hasn't even started with the FAA. He just took some of his information from data that he had, as I understood it from the last meeting. But
okay,
the FAA has to conduct this glare study, and the minimum study, and the obstacle study, and has to give us the approval. Because it's, you know, understand, this is in the RPZ. Okay.
I'm not opposed to any of that. I'm just saying that our role basically is that we're leasing something. We're not building anything.
But understand also that it's an uphill battle because, you know, my first inclination is I don't want anything in the RPZ. Period. If we're going to start using it for something, especially solar panels, it makes darn good sense. But we still have to go through a list of procedures and approvals.
I'm with you on that, Steve. I have no problem with that.
The question I am asking is, should we put together a team to work on that? Yes, sir.
This whole proposal troubles me a little bit. I understand the financial implication and the benefit to the airport authority and to the community. First of all, we've not received any nor asked for any input from the public. And to me, to put anything at the approach end of the runway would serve a distraction for anyone doing an approach to runway 14. I would like to hear public input before we really proceed and seriously consider this.
Well said.
Wes Luke for the recorder. It just so happens that there is a solar farm off the end of the runway at the Springfield Vermont Airport. It is not an airport property, but it is on the approach to runway 5. And I was looking for it, and I have to tell you that the weather conditions we had this weekend. I didn't notice, it didn't jump out at me, I didn't see any glare, didn't attract any attention at all as I approached the runway. You know, as noted, the structures, we would drive by it on our way to the airport, and as noted, the structures are maybe 8 feet tall. And obviously they face the direction of the sun. But I didn't notice anything that affected my ability to get in and get.
Were they in the RPZ?
They were not on the airport property, and they were below the level of the runway. So they probably were not. And I'm not suggesting you wouldn't have to do the paperwork. But from my limited experience, I would think it would be a pretty straightforward exercise to do all that.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, David Shulman for the take. Couple comments. One, with the runway protection zone, the fact that it's grassed except for a few antennas, if someone were to land short and land in that grass, it would probably be a survivable accident. If someone lands in a nest of solar panels with upright steel posts and all that kind of thing, it may not be survivable. As far as being a distraction, I was talking to a friend of mine and telling him that we might be putting a solar panel in. I'm coming in on vinyl on 1/4. I said, that's where it's going to go, and I looked up and I was low. And I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have been low and slow, but I can tell you just pointing out where it's going to go caused me to be a little low and a little slow. I should have done better. But it could be a distraction. It's just a factor that we should think about.
And, you know, the point is you know, how far do we want to go to save $10,000 or make $10,000 a year? Yes, go ahead.
I just want to clarify, this is Joe Carter for the recording. I just want to clarify a little bit of my technical concerns about the instrument approach. It's going to be very important to get the FAA to really sign off on this so they don't come in 2 years later and say, well, we got to raise the minimums. I don't know if it's going to be a problem. I hope not. But I worry about such things as all that metal out there affecting the localizer and the glide slope beams. Whether those are going to have to be recalibrated somehow because of that, and whether it's a time variable phenomenon that might make a problem, I don't know. The FAA has to look at that, and you want to make sure they look at it thoroughly. What Sandy was commenting about, another issue I brought up with her once, is I've been looking into solar stuff for my own home and things like that, I know what they're doing, they're generating power, they're allowing the benefits to be shared by a number of people, but I don't know how they control who benefits, who can share in this power savings. It can't be everybody in the city, certainly. Is there a list of people? How do they do it? Are there slots? I don't know. I don't know. Do you know the answer to questions like that?
I think you buy for... commit to a certain quality or quantity.
I've heard of occasions where people, if you have a community solar farm, there are other towns in New Hampshire that are doing this on city land, like landfills and so forth, and you as a citizen of that city can purchase so many units on that, I think, and benefit from the savings. I don't know how it works in this case because you're leasing them the land. Maybe they have a special arrangement.
Basically, sign up, I would guess, Joe. Of course, he's not here to answer this question now, so I can't really speak to it. So, I mean, basically, all I'm doing is, from my perspective, is bringing you this proposal, this prospect to do this, and it's up to all this stuff to get worked out.
Right, Wes.
Wes Lou, to what Joe said, if the airport is the sponsor, I would assume they get to, in some way, shape, or form, be the middleman for whatever benefit comes from this. And that might be an income source for the airport. I mean, if I'm going to save so many cents a kilowatt hour, saving a little less and having the airport have a small piece of that is still a benefit to me.
I think the arrangement, Wes, was that we would just lease the property and get the lease income.
Okay. But also added to that, Gordon, was the ability to buy our electricity for less.
Yeah.
Didn't he stipulate that there was a percentage that we could, like 20%? I thought he mentioned something like that, that we would be allowed to buy into. There was a limit.
I think you could get as, take as much as you want, and I think what we were going to say was to the offer to the community here, who first, I think, would be the airport users to say if you're got a facility.
The only other concern I had is I know we had dealings with the city environmental protection group, and they've been, had a lot of difficulties with them when we tried to develop the new runway, and they weren't favorable toward us. And I'm thinking this is going to be on wetland, and I'm just wondering if we have touched base with those people yet, or has Andrew touched base with those people yet?
Well, we haven't. You know, I think again, I think he's only at, he's at a point now where he's just looking for some, or was rather looking for some sort of commitment for him to at least go forward. I mean, he's given us the rough cut of what he thinks it would look like, what it would benefits would be, but until we were ready to or willing to go further with him.
Right. That area you're saying, first we need to decide what is something we really want to pursue, okay? And where we want to put together the effort to get the approvals from the necessary
people, you've got the proposal from him. Now you can take whatever lead you want to.
And I'm not so sure that, you know, there's people who think it's great and there's people who don't think it's great. I don't see the need for a mere $10,000 to take out a major piece of our RPZ and in place hazards. You are. I'm always thinking when I take off my small little plane, if I had to land, I don't need to make the runway, I just need to make the grass, okay? But if there's poles sticking up, I don't want them coming right through the aluminum between my legs, so to speak.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't know what percentage of the particular geographic area surrounding this airport that small parcel might be, but try not to hit that.
Go. Well, it's in the RPC. You don't have any choice if you're out of control. You're having problems. So
take the other rudder. Go the other way.
But there are other places. We got hangars.
I understand. You know, we talked about India at the end of India, but everybody goes, oh, I know. I want to put it there.
A lot of large hangar buildings. Maybe this is something we could do the next large hangar.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Let just jog my memory. I'm sorry. Another subject. Sorry.
So anyway, something to think about. I don't want to spend dwell all night on this. Can we move on? Okay. New business. There is no new business on the agenda, and that brings us to public input. Like to close with any public input?
Sure, Farrell Woods for the record. So, you know, this came up earlier in the engineer's report. As you folks know, you know, like I've been pestering, you know, the engineer. I've been pestering Steve Burke about the gate, you know, by building 13, gate number 7. So I just want to say thank you for making that operational. You know, Steve and I worked about a week and a half ago. We were wrestling with a laptop computer trying to get it to talk to the controller that runs the gate. And, you know, we figured out some stuff about the computer, but I think Steve, you know, finished that work this week and sent me a note saying the gate's operational. And indeed, when I came here earlier, I was able to get in, you know, through that gate. So thank you. I appreciate that. Now, having said that, I wish the little reader weren't quite so far away. I need, you know, like a longer arm now or something like that to really reach it. Or someone suggested a selfie stick. put the card on the end of that and leave it at the reader. So you know, this is progress though. So, you know, thank you. I appreciate it.
On that same note, one of the comments that we've gotten on the survey is why do they take so damn long to close?
That I would say
up and then down.
All of our new gates are open for exactly 5 seconds and then they start closing.
That's the longest 5 seconds in the world. The one by the office.
The one by the office was not touched by the project. I'm, I'm
told by our maintenance that there is no adjustment on that gate. It stays open for as long as it stays open, and then it starts to close, which is probably, I think, about 12 to 15 seconds somewhere in there. It seems like an eternity.
Yeah. I remember somebody was going to look into the electronics of that. Of course. You get them to book.
There you go.
It's an electrical engineer.
That's Farrell's project.
That's right.
I'd like to make a motion to assign Farrell to.
I'll loan him a soldering iron.
No, I got soldering irons and oscilloscopes and stuff.
Okay. So, any other public input, please? Yes.
Can I ask a question? Just going back to see the tower report in the office for June. I heard 1,171. Is that down for the month of June, 1,171, or down year to date?
From the previous year. Down.
So for the month
same
of June.
Month.
For the month
same
of June. Month, yeah.
1,171 down.
We're down about 12% year to date.
And there's a study or something coming up that you referenced, Mr. Rosenblum, or someone asked about a traffic, overall traffic.
We don't have the numbers.
We have another spreadsheet format that shows the traffic counts by month, by year.
By month, by year.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
A question and two quick comments, and I assure everyone I'll be brief. Alderman Sherman anticipated my question on the tower report. Steve, I want to thank you very much for every month having that data for us. I'd like to ask a follow-up to Alderman Sherman's question, and for the record, Shane McLaughlin. With respect to the tower report, we have the up-or-down figure, but that's sort of an abstract figure without a datum or a reference point. Would it be possible for us to actually have, for example, total operations were 5,600, we're down 11. If we only have 2,000 operations last year at all, and we're down 1,100, that's a big number. If we had 10,000 operations, we're down 1,100. Well, that's not so bad, and that might be a weather-related issue. But it does help many of us in business here have a feel for what the direction of the field is, just kind of generally. I think from month to month, a lot of the operational data tends to look like temperature, can vary a lot. What we look for is the trend. But if you could have that for us, if that's not difficult to do, in context with the 1,100. We're down 1,100 total ops were, and last year total ops were.
Can you do that on the website, Steve? Keep a running tally on the website? Are you able to do that?
I think we probably could, yeah.
That's something you could look at every day, or, you know, every...
Pardon? But we have that. We have total ops and what we're down in the report. We just didn't say anything about it. Yeah.
But if we had that at the meeting, in other words, when you give us the report, it puts it in context.
So, if I may, so you'd be interested in that 12%. Is that the number you want to hear?
That's right. And in other words, the current figure is we're down 1,100 ops over last year's June,
yeah,
as I understand it.
Right.
What would be helpful to know is what was last year's total ops. In last year's view.
Oh, okay.
The gross numbers.
And I was going to say, you know, that's why I'd like to have the screen down so that you all can see the report. But this is the full tower report. It's 3 pages long. It's got all the numbers.
Thank you.
Question is, would it be helpful to put it on the website? Yes, sir.
Wes Lou. Steve. At what interval does that information go to the FAA? Because the operations per airport are actually on the FAA website.
I don't know, Wes. I don't know. Maybe Roy does.
It gets reported. The tower does a traffic count every hour. Then they, at the end of the shift, they close that out. And it gets inputted in their computer.
Cool.
So that
up in the tower, so it goes gets fed into, you know, the FAA's big computer.
So it's actually pretty current then.
Oh yeah,
because mm-hmm. I can go to the FAA website if I know which database to go into.
Yeah,
and it shows me the operations at the airport.
Right,
with you know, military, civilian, all that stuff. Yeah. It's there.
It doesn't. It the thing that seems to be missing when reading these outlines for surveys is operations by type. So it does separate military, civilian, but it doesn't give
right.
you commercial versus or. Turboprop or that sort of thing. And I asked
Brian Bean,
or whether or not they would acquiesce to doing that sort of thing, but I never got an answer back. I don't know if that's really
considered important or not for us to better understand the type of operations that are going on, or is it
well,
just...
Well, this report that you get, Gordon, does break it down. And maybe it would be helpful to have a key on here, because you have air carrier, which every month is zero. We don't have any air carrier activity.
Right.
Air traffic, or air taxi, rather, which would be your charter ops. GA, military, and then total. And then they break it down by GA local, military local, total local, and then the total. So
I thought we also had jet, too.
Jet's in a separate report.
Separate sheet, yeah.
So it is in that report.
We do have a more finite...
Yeah.
I haven't ever had a problem with it, but I think that probably has everything you need. Do we just, when you give your report, just...
I'll
elaborate a little.
I will. I sure will.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I promised I'd be brief.
Okay.
So
go ahead.
If I can. Steve, the Touch a Truck program, what is the venue for that going to be?
It's going to be the same area as we used last year, the alleyway in between the hangars there. I had spoken with Bob about maybe allowing a little bit more hangar space from Nashua Jet. I wonder if that's possible. We're going to have a bouncy house this year. It'd be great to have it inside of a hangar.
Well, okay. So you've anticipated my comment on that respect too. So we need a volunteer space at 83 for you, or possibly 95. We'll work with you on that.
Wonderful.
So
that'd be great.
Available for the event. And I'll see to it that Bob is aware of what I just remarked.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
And you and he can coordinate on that, so we'll make that available.
Thank you very much.
For that event. And,
thank you.
Last comment is this, is that, you know, a comment was made about the Collings Foundation coming alternate years to CAF. I'd like to suggest that we might reach out to the Collings Foundation for perhaps a fall aviation weekend, where they might come this fall. Might be an ideal time. They may be unavailable. They probably do their schedule line in advance, but it might be a nice follow-up interaction before the winter sets in. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes. No. Mary Ladies first, sorry.
This is special. Mary Packer for the record. I spoke with Keith Webb about the Touch a Truck. He spoke to me, and he asked if it was possible if you could direct people on the other side of 87 or 85, only because he had dozens and dozens of people visiting his athletes going into the pilot shop rather than in the port party.
Okay.
So he wondered if you could direct the traffic to another spot through there.
Last year we had porta potties inside the venue, and they were up against buildings.
Right.
This year the plan is to put the porta potties right at the entrance. So
okay.
I think that would probably mitigate any issues he has
okay.
with people using
his
bathroom. I sure will. Thank you.
See what his idea is too.
I will.
Everyone can then use the potties, and he said really there wasn't any traffic
dying. Okay, I'll talk to Keith about that. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. David Jump again. Just a question going back to the volume numbers. You mentioned local, so that means locally fixed, natural-based aircraft.
I believe that's how they break it down, yeah.
That would be a useful number, too, on the different types, you know, private or commercial or air taxi. Local versus transient, if that's available. I don't know if they track those kinds of things. You said local, I didn't know, just wasn't sure what you meant by local.
Is that what the LC is?
A local operation is a touch and go.
Oh,
an itinerant is an aircraft coming in from another airport or leaving our airport going to another airport. But somebody that's in the touch and go pattern, when you're counting traffic, you get two clicks for that. That's two of your, you know, so there's a takeoff and a landing for every touch and go. And generally, your itinerant and local operations pretty much parallel one another. If you've got 10,000 operations, you're going to have about 5,000 of one and 5,000 of the other. So, but and they do count air taxis. If it's an air taxi, they will. That goes into a different category, and military also. But there's like four categories that go on the traffic count. There's a FAA form that they fill out every day on that. But they make an input to the computer every hour or two. So that's why it's immediate.
One thing, if my Kevin Plant's record, I'll just throw out there that.
control tower has absolutely no idea who's part 91 versus 135, and if the data's coming from them, then bear that in mind. That's just not part of the information that's pertinent to an air traffic controller, so no one else can have access to it.
AT air taxi, right?
Yep.
AT.
Get
somehow they know, because they have it broken down by air taxi.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute.
Yes.
Unless you know that person, you don't know.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Director comments? Yes, absolutely, go first.
I'll make it quick. Movie night and touch a truck, if you guys can be there, please do. I have a meeting tomorrow afternoon with John Henry, who's a great guy. He's trying to help us as National Airport coordinate with all the other airports for what we have going on, as well as what they have. David DeVries also does a great, great newsletter. Do you get his newsletter?
No.
They're really good. I'll start forwarding them to you.
I'm sorry, John Henry?
John Henry is, he gave a class. What was that class he gave us, a seminar? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was a roundtable discussion about,
yeah, general
about
aviation.
Trying to get trying to jumpstart something.
Yeah. So he's a great guy, and he goes around to different airports, and he's trying to build up general aviation and market together, like do stuff together.
Okay.
I spoke with Bob Rennie this morning, and he thought that we should reach out to high schools and junior highs, and maybe do tours with them. And maybe give some free airplane rides. I know we do Young Eagles, but that's really, it attracts a lot of young kids. So maybe we can reach out and do that.
How about the prom?
You and your prom. I'm going to leave you in charge of the prom. You can do the prom, okay? David Dean was here. He's running for mayor. He came, and it was very interesting and very informative. I chose to go because I would like to know what all of our candidates think about our airport. So we are hoping to have every candidate here to do like a meet and greet. So we're reaching out to them one at a time. So I'll send a little email. His was kind of last minute. I didn't know until a day or so before. So I couldn't really push it, but it was very, very interesting. I think our next meeting is August 19th, which is National Aviation Day, so I think we should just all go flying instead of having a meeting. What do you think?
We can talk about skipping next month.
Yeah, well, we should all go flying, I think, for dinner. And that's all I have, I think. Believe it or not, I'm quick today.
Hey, Gordon.
Nothing really to add. Just pleased with the way that the survey is going, and kind of excited to put it all together and come up with some kind of a report on you guys.
Mike,
this was a very busy month, and I want to commend the staff, particularly Mary Beth and Steve. We went through several different forms of draft budgets and draft financial statements back and forth before we were able to have a final document for the board. And I know it took a lot of extra effort, and I appreciate it. Thank
you. I'd just like to commend Gordon for all the work he's put into the solar farm, and I think it's something that we should pursue, and especially with Andrew, to get a little bit more background. The feeling I get from Andrew is he's never dealt with the government on these issues, and that's unusual, but maybe he has never dealt with the FAA.
No, I think the latter is probably the case.
Yeah.
Because he's doing this with a number of municipalities throughout.
I would think, yeah. It's something I hope that we can pursue.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we got in this a little late, I think, in the year. That's our issue right now.
Okay, and, yes, sir.
Sandy, you mentioned Dave DeVries. He's the president of a group called the New Hampshire Pilots Association, and if any of you aren't familiar with what they do,
You should go and check out the website. It's newhampshirepilots.org. You don't have to be a pilot to be a member. As long as you have any kind of interest in aviation, you can sign up and you can become a member, and he'll put you on his mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he sends out these email blasts to everybody in the state of New Hampshire about events that are coming up. So it's a great resource to find out what's going on at other airports and at our airport here too. So,
mm-hmm.
And one thing I should have mentioned in my airport manager's report is they are our AWISS, AWSS, our weather instruments, this week is going to be replaced with an AWOS, and I want to thank National Jet for letting us store that equipment in one of their hangars while the FAA puts it together. Mm-hmm. On behalf of the FAA, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't see any change at all. It's going to be just a little bit better equipment, I guess, from what I understand, but from a pilot perspective, you wouldn't notice any change at all in the reporting. Thank you.
Okay, and my final comments are that it takes a lot of persistence and follow-up to do some of the smallest things. I want to thank Steve for staying on board, especially for the fuel farm demo, researching, pushing consistently over the last 2 months. It was a very delicate situation where we had to just get their nod to do it, and then finally ultimately saved the airport $50,000. The city was perhaps going to help us with that with escrow funds, so thank the mayor, but it'd be very nice when we get the final letter from them to call the mayor up and say, hey, thanks, but we don't need it this year. Also, it's been extremely busy, and we've done a lot of stuff. The last 6 months has been, we've accomplished a lot. Things are kind of winding down now. So I think the second half of this year is downhill. We had the S&P finished. We had the budget. We got through the budget for the first year. So a lot has been accomplished. And thank you for everybody who's been part of it. At the conclusion, we're not going to adjourn this meeting. We're going to go into public session. Non-public session. I have it in front of me, so I'd like to make a motion to enter non-public session for two reasons. One is a petition by parties relating to a personal matter that needs to stay disclosed under RSA 91-A32D. And the other matter is an employee review, and that would be under paragraph A of the RSA. Do I have a second?
Yes, second the motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
You have to do that by roll call.
Oh, roll call.
Oh.
Then or both. Okay. By roll call.
So Director Jackson?
Yes.
Treasurer Rosen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Machikian?
Yes.
Chair Stevens?
Yes.
And Secretary Christian Adams?
Yes.
Okay, so we will enter a non-public session, but we'll do a break of 5 minutes. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Now, what do you call it?
Seven.
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 Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven.
one toenail there. I went to open the garbage can with the lid and stuff on the
Pretty sure it's there.
That's coming on. So I got both.
Yeah, we're going to revise it.
Photographs on the website.
I'll talk.